Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue our discussion of what it means that we have eternal life. If you've been with us the past couple of weeks, we've started a new series, and we're dealing with what eternal life is and what it means to have eternal life. Eternal life is not live forever life. Most Christians think that to receive eternal life means that we're given the right and the privilege to go to heaven and be with God forever. Well, we absolutely do get the privilege to live with God and go to be with Him in heaven forever. Absolutely. But that's not the eternal life we receive when we're born again. When we believe on Jesus and are born again, we receive the actual life that's in God Himself. We receive something of God from God into our innermost being. If you are born again today, there's something in you that was not in you before you bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. The very uncreated life in God Himself is in you to transform you. Now, we want to continue to talk about this week. Let me just review a few points and get to it. We began this discussion with God's plan and purpose in creation. God's plan and purpose in creation is this. He made men and women to become His sons and daughters through faith by partaking of His uncreated eternal life. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Before the world ever began, before He created the earth to be home for His family of sons and daughters, God's intention was that we would receive eternal life. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 makes reference to two trees in Eden. We're all familiar with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because that's the tree from which Adam ate and caused all the chaos and mayhem that we deal with in this earth today. But that verse also makes reference to another tree. It's called the tree of life. Let me read Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If Adam and Eve had chosen to eat from the tree of life, it would have been an expression of submission to and dependence on God, resulting in union with the life in Him, resulting in union with eternal life. But as you know, Adam instead chose independence from God through sin and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which in turn united him and the race in him to death. And sin, corruption, and death entered into the human race. Men and women are born sinners, are born into a fallen race with a sin nature under the dominion of death. God had told Adam in Genesis 2:17, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you will die. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says that through one man, Adam, sin entered the world and death passed upon all. The New Living Bible, the Living Bible says, and all things began to grow old and die. The curse of death entered not only the human race, but the earth itself. Romans 5:19 says that through Adam's disobedience, men were made sinners or constituted sinners. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 say that before we knew Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And in us, children of unbelief, it specifically says, the spirit of the prince of the power of the air worked in us, and we were by nature objects of God's wrath. Now, we could do whole lessons on those points, but the point for right now is this. God's original intention for man was that we would unite, that we would be united to the life in him through union, through expression of submission and dependence to him. We'd be united to the life in him, become partakers of his uncreated eternal life, and be literal sons and daughters of God by birth. But Adam and the race in Adam has chosen independence from God, and as a result, we're born into a fallen race united to death. Now, God knew this would happen, and he devised a plan to undo the damage done by mankind's disobedience and still carry out his original plan, his original intention to have sons and daughters who partake of his very life. That plan is called redemption. The goal of redemption or salvation, we're saved through redemption, through being delivered from sin, corruption, and death in all its forms. The goal of redemption or salvation is transformation. We discussed that in some detail last week. That's the point. God didn't die just to save us from hell, although we are saved from hell. God didn't die just to get us into heaven, although we are going to heaven. He died to produce a transformation in men, to transform unrighteous sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. God accomplishes this transformation through the cross and the new birth. At the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sin so it could be removed and God could deal with us as though we never sinned and put his life in us through the new birth. God accomplishes this transformation of sinners into sons, of unholy, unrighteous men and women into holy, righteous sons and daughters through the cross and the new birth. The ultimate purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was and is to give eternal life, the uncreated life in God, to men and women. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus was not talking about the quality of our lifestyle there. He was not saying, I've come to give you a better life in this life, a better job, a better car, a better house, help you with your issues, although he does do all that stuff. I'm not arguing that at all. But that's not what Jesus meant when he made the statement, I have come that you might have life. He came to bring the uncreated eternal life in God to a race that was trapped in sin, corruption, and death. We talked last week about John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. That phrase, whosoever believeth in him, in the Greek is literally believe into him. When you believed on Jesus as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit united you, your spirit, your innermost being, to the uncreated eternal life in God, as truly as a branch is joined to a vine, and you became a literal son or daughter of God by birth. You now have something in you that was not in you before you became a believer in Jesus. We discussed last week about how Jesus joined us in death at the cross so that we could join him in life through the new birth. He went to the cross for us as us and was punished in our place for our sins. Once the price was paid, because he had no sin of his own, death could no longer hold him, and he was raised up. Because he was there for us as us, when he was given life, so were we. In the mind of God, when life was given back to Jesus at the resurrection, it was given to us as well. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, this is the Amplified. It says, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. Through the death of Jesus at the cross, justice has been satisfied in regard to our sin, and God can now deal with us as though we had never sinned and transform us into holy, righteous sons and daughters. When we believe on Jesus as Savior and Lord, the same life that raised Jesus from the dead, resurrection life, the uncreated life in God himself, that life that raised him from the dead comes into our spirit, our innermost being, and our spirit is regenerated and we're literally born of God. 1 John chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration." When you regenerate something, you give life to it. When your battery's dead, you regenerate it with, cables, jumper cables. We were regenerated. Our dead spirit was made alive with the uncreated eternal life in God by the power of the Holy Ghost when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment, spiritual death, which is what was in us, in our spirit, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we were by nature objects of God's wrath. Spiritual death is actually our sin nature. It's driven out and replaced by the life and the nature of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, "God has given to us exceeding grace, precious It has given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature." We don't become God. He's always the creator. We are the created, but we are made alive with the life of God and become literal, actual sons or daughters of God by birth. His life, his nature, his substance comes into us, regenerates us, and a process of transformation begins. Christianity is not a belief system or a code of ethics, although we must believe certain things and there are behaviors associated with it. Christianity is a living, vital, organic union with God through Jesus Christ. Salvation is human nature being made alive with the life of God. And ultimately, that transformation will occur in every part of our being. More tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.